The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
Motivational series, okay? I don't want to motivate you. I want to make sure that you take what God gives me to deliver to you and you put it in the action because God truly is dreaming about you. Acts chapter 2. Verse 17 says this, and it shall come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even the people who are working around you, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. One of the things that we said as a foundation that we're still leaning on is that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you things that are both fun and serious. He wants to reveal things to you that you are designed and called to accomplish, both fun and serious. When I say fun, I mean, I shared with everyone that it's my dream to one day meet Irvin Magic Johnson. It would seem like it has no significance on anything, but I've had that dream since I was a kid. So since I've had that fun dream, I believe that God's given me that to hold on to because one day, I've told you over the last 2 weeks, and you watch, one day I will post on the screen me hanging out with Irvin Magic Johnson. That's the fun side. But then there's also the serious side of dreaming, such as, again, my own life, that Damon, I've called you to pastor a church, and you and your wife are going to pastor City Place Church in the beautiful city of Orlando. A little bit more serious because your lives depend on it. It's not something that I'm like, whoa, Magic, if I don't get to you right now, I'm cool with that. No, if you aren't dreaming again, the Bible says that I and my wife are held accountable for that. So you, me and my wife, we have to get before the Lord, and I can't deliver to you a motivational speech because God will ask me, why did you fake the funk on October the 23rd when you should have been before me? Because my most precious possession, I gave you as a dream. So the Holy Spirit reveals to you the serious and the fun. And so we use that from Acts chapter 2 where he says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. You will hear what God is seeing and he says it to you. That's prophecy. You will see visions. That is the snapshot, the photo. And then he says, you will dream dreams. It's the motion picture of heaven. It is what's taking place that God is looking at when he sees you. And it's in full motion picture, and God wants to show that to you. So to slow it down, just to make sure, the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you the conversations and the photos and the motion pictures that are happening in heaven. Are you with me? So we laid that foundation, and then I'm just going to run through these really fast. You might say, well, Damon, why don't dreams happen? Dreams don't happen for certain reasons. One, it's how you view life. It's how you view God and how you view yourself. Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I tagged on this, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is God. God is only limited by how you view him and what you feel like he can do in your life. Now, I'm going to run through these. Here we go. You can take a photo if you'd like, or you can write them down. Here's the fact. This is from week number one. If you don't have a dream, you will wander aimlessly. If you don't have a dream, you will wander aimlessly. Fact number two is your capacity for dreaming has not been reached yet. He says, old men, young men, sons, daughters, in the last days, I'm going to pour it out on everybody. There's no reason why you shouldn't have an encounter with the Holy Spirit that wrecks your life and causes you to wake up new on a different day and say something good is about to happen today. There's no reason why you can't drift off and someone beep at you because you're daydreaming in your car because you're thinking about all that God's been showing you. He says there's no limit to the capacity of your dreaming. Dreams are birthed in the presence of God. Over the last few weeks, we used two men in the Bible, Abraham and Jacob, and they had an encounter with God, but it was in the presence of God where God said, now it's going to happen. It's one thing for God to show you the picture, show you the motion picture and speak it to you. You have got to get in his presence where he can then birth it. And we had some people that had just given birth to a baby, and we said that they did everything that they had to do to conceive the child, but then they ultimately birthed the baby. And it's the same way with God's presence. I can stand on the outside and I can say, I want my dream that you told me about, but it's not until I get into God's presence where I conceive it, and then it's birthed. So dreams are birthed in the presence of God. Oh, this was one of my favorites because last week we talked about Abraham, and the Bible said that Abraham was stuck with his dad when they were heading to Canaan, but they got stuck in Haran, and his dad was 205 years old and died. He was on his way to Canaan, but he got stuck in Haran, and his father died. God speaks to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. He says, leave where you are. Go to where I'm sending you. I will make your name great. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. And through you, the whole world will be blessed. Verse 4 says, and Abraham grabbed all of his stuff and he left. See, dreams have to move from just inspiration to participation. Yeah, that's good. I can be inspired all day, but if I don't act, dreams never come true. So I'm trying to figure out where magic's going to be. I'm trying to figure out if magic's going to be in Orlando because he needs to meet me. Y'all are laughing, but I'm serious. And here's what's funny. When I was a teenager, I worked in the locker room for the Washington Bullets. And no lie, Magic Johnson came back twice and retired both times. And literally, it was the next week when they were supposed to come. I was inches from meeting Magic. And he was like, I'm sorry, I got to retire. I'm like, no, Lord Jesus. But I'm holding on to it because I'm like, hey, Dad, you're a good, good dad. Irvin needs to meet me. And this is what I told everybody. I said, Irvin's worth $500 million. There must be a God reason for him and I to connect. So the distance between your dream and its reality is your faith, your action, and God's power. Okay? Faith without works is dead. I know it's really scriptural. I'm not trying to be over spiritual. But scripture surrounds everything that God does. So it's my faith with my action, but it's ultimately God's power. Dreams are the target of your faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things you cannot see. You have to target your faith to the dream that God's given you. Dreams are to be chased through obedience. It's not an option. So when God shows you something in a dream, a lot of times we think it's an option. I want to declare to you that it's in the obedience category. You have to take it more serious because there is something that God wants to do through you to accomplish his purpose and his plan that he's seeing in heaven. Therefore, we can't take the dream that God gives us lightly. I don't know if I can do that today. I'm not qualified to do that. It's not about you. It's your faith, your action, God's power. So dreams have to be chased. It's not an option. And then we said that dreams continue regardless of what you see. Now, for this week, I'm going to springboard off of this point. I'm going to start my message this week and end it next week. Here's the title of my message next week. Y'all okay? This is good. But it plays into this week. Okay? So I've got like a subtopic inside of a topic. The title of my message next week is How to Hug a Vampire. Loving people that try to suck the dream out of your life. But in order to be able to get there, I've got to work this text today. Because this text is like part A. Back in the day when I was growing up, I grew up in the 80s. They used to have something called To Be Continued. And they had mini series. Now the whole series is like 22 episodes. Back in the day, it wasn't like that. Back in the day, it was like mini series. Dallas, special. Dallas was off in the summer, but they came back for two episodes in the summer. And this is when J.I. would get shot and they would leave you till fall. It's a miniseries, so I'm going to start, and I'm going to stop cold turkey till we come back next week. Y'all okay? Now, in order to do this, I'm serious. In order to do this, I need y'all to be patient with me because I've got to set the groundwork this week, leave you hanging for next week. Did y'all like the dramatic facial expression? Huh? I did it on purpose, like, oh, feel it because I do. Right. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. And trust me, I'm like this in church and out of church. Never change. Genesis chapter 37. And I've got to read a little bit in order to get us to next week. All right, Genesis chapter 37, verse 3. I'm going to bounce around just so you know. I've got some work to do, and we're going to get there, I promise you. Genesis chapter 37, verse 3 says this: Jacob loved Joseph more than any other of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his own age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for his son. It was a beautiful robe. But Joseph's brothers hated him because his fathers loved him more than the rest. They couldn't even say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream. Everybody say dream. When he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. Listen to this dream, Joseph said. We were out in the field tying bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and my bundle and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. That's a pretty, I'd hate him too. His brothers responded, so you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph dreamed another dream. And again he told his brothers, that boy should have learned the first time. Listen, I've had another dream, he said. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. This time he told the dream to his father as well as he did to his brother. But his father scolded him and he said, what kind of a dream is that? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. Skip down to verse 18. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, he had to bring a message to them. When his brothers saw him, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said. Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Another word is cisterns. We'll tell our dad that a wild animal ate him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dream. Flip over to Genesis chapter 41, verse 37. Genesis 41, verse 37 says, Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent, as wise as you are. You will be in charge of my whole court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on the throne, will have a higher rank than you. Verse 41. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Then he took off his ring, gave him a new coat, and hung gold around his neck. Now this week, I read a lot to you. I promise you I'll pull it all together. If I had a title inside of our Dream Again title, it would be this. They used to call me Crazy Joe. They used to call me Crazy Joe. There was a movie when I was a kid called Lean on Me. And there was a teacher by the name of Joe Clark. And Joe Clark went into a school system that was broken down. And in order to get the school to where he wanted them, he had to create discipline. And one day, everybody who was against him showed up outside. The police, the PTA, the board of the school showed up in front of him. And they said, the discipline that you're bringing to this school, we don't want. And he grabs a bat in his hand and he said, they used to call me Crazy Joe, but now they can call me Batman. I didn't want to add that. But I read to you bookends of the story. Now, if I can do this right with the Holy Spirit's help, we'll take a good journey. I read to you the bookends of the story because if Joseph could step into my place this morning, I feel like he would tell us his journey and some of the things that he learned being a dreamer. And the only way I can do that is to pull Joseph from the text and verbalize to you what he would say. And the first thing he would say is, when you got to Genesis 41, I ended up in the place that God had originally showed me in Genesis 37. But he would put it like this: they used to call me Crazy Joe. Now they call me Dream Fulfilled. They used to call me Crazy Joe. They joked about me being a dreamer. To this day, they still call me the dreamer. They used to call me Crazy Joe, but now they say dreams fulfilled. You with me? So my assignment this morning is to link "they used to call me Crazy Joe" to our sermon next week, how to love people who try to suck the life out of you. We read about them in Genesis chapter 37. Did you hear how they hated him? And then they hated him even more. And then they hated him even more. And then they hated him even more. I don't know how you could have that, but it was some serious level of hatred. So much so that they said that they wanted to throw him in a pit. So here's just a couple of things inside of the text that I just want to break out to us this morning. Is this okay? So the first part of our foundation was that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you things that you can't do on your own. In chapter 41 of Genesis, Pharaoh looks at him and he says, this guy truly has the Spirit of God, and we can't find nobody else like him. So that links to the first point that I laid as a foundation. The Holy Spirit does things through you and in you that nobody else can do. In the Old Testament, he says that the Spirit of God has caused this guy to separate himself more than anybody else. So if Joe was talking, Joe would say this. Joe would say, City Place Church, dreams become evident through the process of learning. Who I was when I first dreamed my dream and who I have become, totally different. See, ladies and gentlemen, when you met me in Genesis, I'm Joseph now, just so you know, I don't have split personalities. When you met me in Genesis chapter 37, I was 17 years old. My dad loved me so much because, see, my mom and my dad, they had prayed for me for a long time. She couldn't have a child. My dad was old. I had some stepbrothers who, as you can see, we had a pretty serious relationship of hatred. They didn't like me very much. And my dad loved me so much because he had been dreaming about me because he wanted to have a child with the girl that he really loved. See, my dad got tricked when he was younger into marrying the woman that he didn't want to marry. And he had to spend some time, 14 years exactly, to wait for my mom. He waited for my mom, and when they finally got together, my mom couldn't have a child. So after waiting for so long, God spoke to my dad and said, your wife is going to have a child. And she had me. My name is Joseph. And so in all of my excitement, I was trying to play with my brothers, but they just wouldn't have it. Well, my dad loved me so much that he gave me this really shiny coat. It was a redskin jacket. I'm preaching the message. Y'all be quiet. It's my favorite team. So he had this coat designed for me, and I wore it every single day, and every single day because I was so happy that now my dad had his dream. I walked around because my dad showed me love. Well, thinking that my brothers loved me, I would always try to go and say, hey, look what dad gave me, because dad had given them so many things for so many years, but they weren't paying attention to that. They were jealous of me because at their old age, now dad was showing love to me. So dad gave me this jacket, and I wore this jacket every single day. And I had a tendency to dream, and I would always tell them about it, and I couldn't realize why they were always getting mad. Well, one day I had this really serious dream, and it caused a major rift in my family. You read it in Genesis chapter 37. I saw myself leading my family, and I couldn't understand what it meant. I went to sleep another night figuring out why. Why would they be so mad? And I dreamed it again, and then I told it to my brothers, and they hated me even more. And then I told it to my dad, and he was mad at me too. If there was something that I could tell you that I learned through the process of dreaming, it would be, don't be so prideful. See, God had given me such a big dream that I had to tell somebody, but I got to be honest with you, I was a little cocky because I knew that they didn't like me. So there was something that I can tell you when God gives you a big, big dream and it seems more than you can handle, do not compare. Do not look at what someone may or may not have and put it in a place of comparison because it causes more harm than it does good. Really, I wanted my brothers to cheer me on, but they didn't. If there's one lesson that I've learned through the process of my dreams being fulfilled, is humble yourself in advance. The other thing I learned is you can't tell everybody your God-sized dream. So the first part deals with me. The second part is trusting somebody else with my dream. Are y'all with me? This is Joseph telling the story. So Joseph says to us that, hey, dreams are accomplished and fulfilled, but there's a lot of learning. And the very first thing is humble yourself when it's bigger than what you think. The reason why is because you can't accomplish it. Don't go spouting it off. This is what we're going to do. He was 17. I get it. But the other thing is that you can't always share your business when it's beyond your scope. We have a motto here, my wife and I, when it comes to leadership. If you get mad at something, if you can't handle something, never communicate on a horizontal level. Always communicate vertical, because if you communicate vertical, that's where you get your answer. All you get is complaint here. Nothing is ever fulfilled from a horizontal level. But if I have a problem with leadership, then I go vertical. Are you with me? So if my God dream is so big, I don't know if I want to trust my God dream to somebody who ain't in leadership. Are you with me? So Joe says, dreams become evident through the process of learning. So humble yourself in advance. Don't be cocky with this God-sized dream. And be careful who you share it with. Here's the other thing Joe would tell us. Here's the other thing Joe would tell us. Expect the unexpected when you chase your dream. Expect the unexpected when you chase your dream. In Genesis chapter 37, it says that Joseph was going out to deliver a message. They were looking for his brothers. They go out to find his brothers, and his brothers are like, hey, let's kill him right now. Let's throw this dude in a pit. Let's drop him down. Let's go tell dad. He's gone. He's dead. Whatever we got to do, let's just eliminate him. And the Bible says there's a guy named Reuben. It's like, no, what are you doing? You can't be doing all that. You can't be going and killing him. No, uh-uh. So they drop Joseph in a pit. If you read 37, they drop him in a pit. And the Bible says, watch, in verse 23, I think, through 25, it says that they drop him in a pit, and then they go and grab some lunch. It said that they just start eating. And while they're eating, their brother, they have dropped. Y'all want a ham sandwich? Read the text. It says that they go and they grab something to eat, and while they're eating, the people of Ishmael come along and they say, hey, you know what? We can profit off of this dude. So the Bible says that they go sell their brother, go find a goat, kill the goat, spread the blood all over the coat, take it back to their dad. Dad's heartbroken. But if Joseph was speaking to you, he would tell you to expect the unexpected while you're chasing your dream. Here's something that I've learned about dreams in my own personal life. They never play out the way you think. The enemy is not sitting back cheering your God dream on. The doors that you are expecting to open won't open how you think. God has a different door. And if God closes the door that you wanted open, thank you, Jesus, that I didn't marry that person. Thank you, Jesus, that I didn't get that job that I really wanted and all the layoffs happened in the company. Expect the unexpected, both good and trying. I want a God-sized door, not a Damon-sized door. If I open the door, you can close it. But if God opens the door, no man can close it. You want the favor of God, because if the favor of God is on your life, that's when things happen that's beyond your control. If the favor of God is on your life, you don't have to do much except for your faith, your action. Y'all with me? Job says, expect the unexpected. I was not expecting to be thrown in a pit. I was not expecting for my family to say, you crazy, Joe. Notice how I tied that to the title. You are out your mind. I hate him. I hate him. He always doing stuff like that. Let's kill him. I did not expect to end up in a pit. Have you ever stepped out on God and you stepped out on God and then you asked yourself, wait a second, did I just make a mistake? Anybody? Have you ever stepped out on God and it looked real good and you like, this is my jam. And you get started and all of a sudden all Hades break loose? Because your perspective and my perspective when it comes to what God sees is totally different. He told him that this is what's going to happen. You're going to be up in leadership. They're going to bow down. But he never told him the process of learning. Never told him the process. This is the one thing that if I was like, God, why? Why? Why can I dream so big but then have those moments where I'm like, Lord, you still with me, right? Have you ever had those moments where you're like, God, did you seriously leave me? Joseph says, you have to expect the unexpected. But here's what I want you to be aware. Expect bigger than and greater than, not just struggle. So you have to expect that God is going to do something on your behalf for your dream. I'm going to prove it to you. I promise you. I'm going to prove it to you. Look, here's what Joseph would tag on. Knowing that I have to expect the unexpected, when I'm dreaming, I have to focus on my effort, not on results. When I am expecting the unexpected, one of the things that Joseph, if he was here, he would tell us that he learned, I have to focus on my effort, not on my results, because the God dream, again, like I said, we're going to springboard, it continues regardless of what you see. So the dream is still going. You and I are walking out the process because we are learning. So we have things that, oh, didn't expect that. Whoa, that door opened up, didn't expect that. Like, we didn't expect, be honest with you, we didn't expect for some churches that we had only met for the very first time to sow thousands of dollars into us planting the church. Did we, babe? We had our own list, and that whole list was like, sorry, nope, Yeah, you my family, but not like that. I give you something on Christmas, but not for the church. Then we go to this total stranger, and we're like, hey, you don't even have to say nothing. Seriously, we met with two or three people. We said, you don't have to say a thing. In Orlando, planning a church, here you go. One church script is $6,000. Here you go. We weren't expecting that. We thought in my that our whole family, they were going to be like, here's our piggy bank. Take what you want for the kingdom of God. We were like, we're going to build dreams, we're going to night faith. They were like, we don't know you. We don't know you. And then people we didn't even know. And we just kept grinding, casting vision, praying for you, asking you, will you come? Will you come? Will you come? No, I won't come. Will you come? Will you come? You chase the effort, not the results, because the dream is like, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, beyond your reach, and you're thinking, God, what are you doing? This is not what I expected. And your dream's like, you better hurry up. So he would say, focus on effort, not results. Genesis chapter 39. He's dropped into the pit. They sold him into slavery. He ends up in a guy by the name of Potiphar's house. This is what the Bible says in 39. It says that the Lord was with Joseph. So he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the house of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. So here's this dude who would tell you, expect the unexpected. I share my dream. They drop me in a pit. Then all of a sudden they sell me, and God places me serving in a place where I don't want to be. But because the favor of God is on me, I'm leading in a place where I shouldn't be leading. Y'all, I was preaching that harder than... Did y'all get that? This is not the story that I saw, but I am leading in a place where I shouldn't be leading. Okay. Joseph is a slave, and the text says that everything that he did, God prospered while he was in a place where he didn't want to be. Y'all with me? Okay, let me put this in how we would understand it. The job that you hate, the job that you complain about that you go to every single day, you have a dream way over here, and your dream is continuing regardless of what you see. And you're saying, I can't stand these people. They never promote nobody. And this text says that Joseph is in a place where he doesn't want to be. But because the Lord's hand was on him, he causes him to rise up, and everything was blessed where he was. I'm here to tell you that there is no elected official. You guys can complain, Facebook, all you want, of how hell in the handbasket is coming down. I am telling you that the world and the leader, the president, the Senate, they can't do nothing when the hand of God is on your life. The economy is not dictated by anybody but Jesus Christ himself. So wherever you're working, if it's Hades on the job, you claim this scripture and you say, if you did it for Joseph in a place he did not want to be, God, you can do it for me. Bless the work of my hand. If you read the rest of that text, it says that everything that he put his hand to was blessed. So much so that Potiphar elevated him to be second in charge of his house. And it says that he didn't even worry about what Joseph was doing. You mean to tell me somebody that you snatched, that's not even one of your kind, you raise him to a level of second in charge? You couldn't find another Egyptian that you wanted to promote? You had to find a Hebrew slave who is against you, who is your enemy, and you promote him to second in charge? Imagine being an Egyptian and you having a Hebrew tell you what to do. Imagine your coworkers who have been a pain in your behind, seeing you get elevated because you changed your attitude. And now you're running the department that you once hated. I am preaching, and I am sweating, and a little bit of help will do. This is your dream on the line. You're the one fighting every single day to make ends meet, trying to dream again. And I'm telling you that right where you are, God can lay the smack down on the enemy, lay his hand on you, and cause you to walk bold because the presence of the Lord is opening doors for you that nobody can close. You are a king's kid. And when he causes you to dream, the dream goes on. You just have to put your action and your faith with his power. There is nothing that the enemy can do to slow you down. So as you vote this year, vote for Jesus Christ, saying, I see who we have to choose. I agree or disagree, whatever it is. But Jesus Christ, bring favor on my home. The Bible says, I think it's in Psalms 5:12 or maybe 8, somewhere in there. It says that he is like a shield, but he surrounds that shield as favor. Favor. What God does that you can't do by yourself. Here's what a pastor who we've been listening to, he says this. If you're going to get in a place where you're dreaming and you feel yourself comparing, always compare the hustle, not the results. So throw your timeline to the side. My dream should have been met now. And then look at your effort and say, what have I done? What have I been doing since I said, I guess that's not what God wants me to dream about? Are you staying up late studying business law if you want to own a business? Are you looking at an LLC and an S corporation, a C corp, if you're going to be a business owner? What happens if you get taxed as a self-employed person? How much is the mortgage rates right now if you want to buy a house? How can you improve your credit score? What jobs are available in your new market? How much does it cost to go back to school? What does it take to move to another city? Whatever your dream is, how do I get in the ministry? Whatever it is, how can I improve my vocal standards? How can I improve technology in my home? Whatever it is, I don't know what you're dreaming about. But if you put in the work with your faith, God adds his power. Y'all okay? I have a tendency to get loud. I'm this way either way. I just love Jesus. Here, oh, Joseph. Now this one right here, I think Joseph would tell you this right here with a little bit of emphasis. He would tell you to not quit in the dip. I tell my dream. My brothers hate me. They drop me in a pit. I go up into Potiphar's house, and I don't want to be there, but life sure is good to not have to sleep in the tent. It sure is good to be able to walk throughout the house and no one wondering what I'm doing. But I ran into a problem. It was Potiphar's wife. See, the Bible says in the text, right? It says right here, let me read it to you. In Genesis chapter 39, in verse 19, it says, Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story. See, his wife had eyes for Joe. The Bible says that Joseph was handsome. And, of course, everything that he did was blessed. So it says that day after day, while Joseph was in the house, Potiphar's wife tried to get a hold of him. This woman was so enamored by Joe that said that the house was clear, that one day she cornered Joe while he was working. Even when the house was empty and the wife was there, Joseph was just working. And it said that she had finally said, I got this dude now. She was Desperate Housewives. Y'all remember that show? So she said, look. She said, she walked over to Joe and she said, now, today is the day. My husband's gone. The house was clear. It's just me and you. Joe's like, how is it that I can come in here and serve my God, serve your husband, be the second in control? The only thing he hasn't given me access is you. Therefore, I am not going to touch you, mess him up, or sin against God. She said, oh, no, this has nothing to do with them. This has something to do with me. And she reached out. And the Bible says that Joseph, in all of his integrity, left, and she pulled off his garment, gave it to her husband, and said, this man tried to rape me. Well, being a good husband, he says, bring me Joe. Goes and grabs Joe in 19, throws him in the prison. Wait a second now. Brothers hate me, throw me in the pit. God, I thought we was cool here. But I'm learning to expect the unexpected. What? I'm back in prison. Oh. So now he's back in prison. But watch this. The Bible says in Genesis 39 that the Lord was with Joseph where? In prison. What? The Lord was with Joseph and he showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph had favor and a favorite of the warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners. And everything that happened in the prison, the warden had no worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Okay, Lord, I don't want to be here either. Can you imagine Warden Jackson at Orange County saying, hey, all of you officers, I got this inmate right here. Whatever you need, go see him. Cell block 94683. He's in charge. What? Don't quit in the dip. Don't quit in the dip. At your lowest of low, don't quit in the dip. My story's not over yet. The enemy's trying to put shackles on you. Don't quit in the dip. Don't throw in the towel. When the enemy comes and it feels like it's constraining you and it's the health report that you don't want, don't quit in the dip. Let everything that you do, let every response that you give God be the response where God says, it's my favor, it's my hand, I will cause you to succeed because you're always giving me glory no matter where you are, even if you don't want to be there. So Joseph's in prison. He's running the whole prison. The Bible says that there are two staff members of Pharaoh, the ultimate leader. And it says that they come in and they have dreams. And Joseph says, you having a problem? They say, yes, I had this one dream. I have a basket. The other one, I have grapes. Okay, well, let me tell you kind of what the Lord is saying. One of you will die. The other will be restored. He looks at the guy and he says, now listen, the the one who's being restored. Here's what you need to do, because you're going to be carrying Pharaoh's cup. He says, now listen, don't forget about me, because I don't want to be in this place. You got to read the text. It's so amazing. He says, I don't want to be here. I'm not even supposed to be here. My brothers done dropped me in. They dragged me here. I'm not supposed to be in this place. And the guy says, you know what? I'll remember you. So 3 days after Joseph interpreted the dream, he goes back into his place. Pharaoh welcomes him back. They're drinking and sipping. And the Bible says that Pharaoh has a dream. 2 years later. After he said, don't forget about me, remember, talk to me. 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. And the Bible says that the guy who's the cupbearer says, oh my God, I forgot about Joe. Have you ever been stuck in a place longer than what you thought? Has a dream taken longer than what you thought? Because you scripted it out. Now listen, I'm solving a problem for you. Have you ever tried to make it out on your own? Expect the unexpected. So he's there for 2 years. And finally, the Bible says that the Pharaoh dreams a dream, and the guy remembers, oh my gosh, because nobody else around could do it. He says, there's a guy in prison that you should talk to. Joseph comes up. He hears the dream. He says, listen, you're going to have 7 good years. You're going to have 7 bad years. You want to save up as much as you can during the 7 good years. It'll fund everything in the 7 bad years. And Pharaoh looks, and this leads us back to Genesis chapter 41. Y'all, we made it. Whew. In Genesis chapter 41, after Joseph has told him the interpretation of the dream, he says to him, and he says, now listen, we need to find somebody who's as wise as this dude. And he says, because there's nobody that we found that has a spirit of God like this man. And he says, you know what? In fact, let's not even look any further. Word on the street is they used to call you Crazy Joe. But today, you know that jacket that was ripped off of you, Joseph? Hey, bring my new jacket. Isn't it funny how through the process of learning things that you once wore and you thought you'd be wearing it for a long time, it comes off. But by the end of the story, there's a whole new coat, a lot more authority. So here's what I want to tell you. Joseph ends up in this place, and it says this. It sounds similar to the dips. I don't know. Remember, don't quit in the dip. In the first dip, Potiphar's house, it says that everything that he did, God laid his hand on him, and he became second in charge. Looks like he goes up. Then all of a sudden, he ends up in the prison, and it says that everything that he put his hands to, and the Lord made him second in charge. And then he waits 2 years. Finally, he goes to Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh says, there's nobody in my place that's like you, because it's the Spirit of God on you. I am amazed by the fact that everywhere Joseph didn't want to be, when they could have had people who were more qualified, God always laid his favor on the one who was chasing the dream. Always chase with your effort, not your results, because dreams were meant to be fulfilled. Your action, your faith, God's power. All dreams meant to be fulfilled.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.